Wrestling.
You know? So there is no chance we're going to cover everything because we're not going to remember everything, nor should we, and nor could we. So,
yeah, it's kind of hard to go over everything now. We lost 45 minutes or something thereabouts on Saturday afternoon.
Yes.
After my computer just... It is the first time GarageBand has just completely shut off. For reasons that I'm not completely sure. Still. But it did make me think, I'm like, oh, you know what? I might be able to pull off a new recording device now. And that might be... That started some stunt granny improvements that may be coming sooner rather than later. So, yeah, welcome to what is now Stunt Granny Audio 650, grandkids. I'm Kevin. That's Jeremy. And, yeah, that was a poop ton of wrestling. Like, I literally, like, the wife was like, oh, do you want to record SmackDown? I'm like, no. Just no. Like, I am out on WWE programming right now. Like, I just watched two nights of Stand and Deliver. I don't want to watch that hot garbage.
Oh, SmackDown last weekend? No, or last week, I mean?
Hey, yeah.
I missed it, too.
Yeah, like, but I like, we were back, but, like, I intentionally didn't watch it. Because I was just like, I have watched a shit ton of wrestling, and I don't need to watch this right now.
We discussed this before, but it's like, look at it this way. You had Stand and Deliver two nights, right? One was 2 hours, one was three. The day of the first night of Stand and Deliver was preceded by an Impact episode that was 2 hours long, if you watched it. Oh, and also the same night as Stand and Deliver Part 1 was AEW. So which one's not going to matter? The Friday show. I mean, why the hell would I watch... You know, why would I watch SmackDown?
Two WrestleMania nights up ahead.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I'm getting. I know they had they tried to hook you with the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, and then also the the tag team match with the Street Profits and
what are they called?
The Dirty Biz?
The Dirty Dogs.
Dirty Dogs. Yeah. It's like, okay, whatever, but it's like tonight we're recording, you know, full disclosure, NXT's on.
Oh.
So, oh, and then tomorrow AEW's on. Oh, Thursday, if you feel like it, Impact's on. Oh, yeah, and then Friday is SmackDown. You can get a break for 2 days, rinse, repeat. This is your life now. Dude. And then you're going to start getting Sunday pay-per-views again.
Chris and I are planning on keeping the Tuesday-Thursday schedule. If nothing else, at least I posted Tuesday, they're recorded. Yeah, posted my regular day, or our regular days last week, since I had done a little pre-record with Shahid.
Nice.
Yeah, Chris and I are planning on doing Thursday night record, and we're both trying to fit in AIW in Cleveland. They came up with some concept that I'm still a little confused by with their programming.
Yeah.
But yeah, we want to. Chris and I have kind of talked about them in the past, and. You know, it's just another avenue of wrestling if you feel like watching. You know, if you want to watch more wrestling, there is even more wrestling out there. you know.
So I started watching Elevation today because there's nothing else on before NXT. AEW Elevation.
Oh,
I'm sorry. And AEW Dark is on tonight.
Yeah, Dark's on tonight.
Like, oh my God, Dark. Hopefully, Dark's not 3 hours long again. Jesus. It's just a lot, man. It's just a lot. And maybe a few years ago, this would be heaven. But, I mean, you've got every streaming service under the sun has original programming now. And not including if you just don't have any of those, which I'm not sure who does or who wouldn't.
Oh, right.
You've got cable with all their stuff. And then they keep trying to hook me on that Discovery Plus. Because there's a bunch of stuff on there that no one even knows about, apparently. You could, like, I know it sounds like an ad for it, but besides, like, you know, Discovery, HGTV,
Food Network,
DIY, whatever, right?
Yeah.
You get, like, the Travel Channel, Destination America stuff, like, all that. And then apparently ID's part of it, too. So if you're... Women are into their women murder shows.
Oh,
all of
yeah.
those are out there.
Well, and that one's pretty...
That's insanity.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly have been half tempted to get that one because there is enough stuff. I'm like, oh, man, just tell me you have the old Iron Chefs and I'm in for $5 a month. If they have the original... Japanese Iron Chef. That maybe I need to look into that.
I'm actually doing that now.
Because yeah, that alone could be worth $5 a month, in my opinion. Probably worth $20 a month, but you know that's just me. Because, yeah, there's nothing like the original Iron Chef. Although I have watched Iron Chef America quite a bit recently. So, yeah, there's a lot of services out there. And it is kind of funny. I'm like, I just got the Peacock Premium. I'm like, you guys are saving me $5 a month. Like, this is weird. Like, I don't get this.
Oh, see, I refuse to watch commercials. This is one of the reasons I hate Peacock. So they have the Broken Skull Sessions I watched with Jericho and Austin.
Oh, yeah.
They have built-in commercial breaks. No, there were no commercial breaks on these things in the WWE Network. I'm not paying for ads. All right, and this is a very...
Oh, so do you need to go Premium Plus to get rid of the ads? Okay. Yes.
So I'm Premium Plus. I changed that up to the first day. I was watching, Oh, I'm sorry. Not even the first day. I ordered it. I started watching something on it. And, it was like one of the, not Untolds. The, we'll go with Untold. Doesn't matter for the example. But the thing's only 48 minutes long. 2 minutes into it, it went to a 3-minute commercial. And I went... Fuck this thing. Hell no. And immediately, as I was watching, I changed my subscription. Because it doesn't have, you know, like most commercial television has defined breaks.
Oh.
Like, and they're like, well, you know who did it? No. But I'm pretty sure I do. And then everything fades, and then it goes to commercial, right? Whatever. This was in the middle of someone talking. It went to a commercial. And I just lost my shit. I was like, no. You can't do these sort of things. So I'm watching. So now I have the Peacock Premium Plus, whatever. I'm watching. You'll watch a show. It'll fade to black and come back. That's where the commercial breaks would have been.
Oh.
Like, you have the fucking source. This is why Peacock sucks. It was put together by a bunch of fucking, I almost said monkeys. That's an insult to the monkeys. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean...
It's like getting Netflix with commercials. So you watch an Empire Strikes Back. Yes, I'm going off. This is my Star Wars reference. And right in the middle of a scene, it just fades to black and it comes back. No. The original copy is straight. You play that on your non-ad premium service. It's ridiculous. Besides whatever else.
Well, I know that, like, I guess I can tell where commercial breaks are. But, yeah, like, I know that we've watched a lot of Schitt's Creek here recently. And pretty much blown through the whole series. I think we're kind of milking out season six, knowing that it's the end, because we've enjoyed it so much. But I can tell where the commercial breaks are, but also there's, you know, there's no fading or anything like that on Netflix. Like, I can just tell where the break is, but that's all. You know, it's a nonstop feed.
Yeah, I mean, that show, of course, would have commercials because it's on, was it TV Guide station or something?
It was on Spike or whatever Spike turned into.
Oh, Paramount?
Paramount, yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Okay, I didn't know that. But and so, I mean, I understand shows that had commercial breaks, all right? Shows that didn't.
Oh.
Like, I was watching, like, a WrestleMania or something. And all of a sudden, it faded to a commercial in the middle of, like, in the middle of the match. And I couldn't believe it. I was like, what? So it's worth, I paid $10 before, I'm paying $10 now, I don't care.
And that was the other thing, I guess. I was like, oh, if I ever need to go up to Plus, whatever, it's a wash.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Man, I don't even know how much money I spent this weekend, because I don't remember most of Saturday night. But, I mean, it's not exactly true, but, yeah, we were out a little bit later.
Yeah.
What the? So, they're showing, do you have NXT on by chance?
Yeah, I have NXT on.
I really can't wait to listen to that. Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly get stretchered in, and Cole is bitching at Kyle O'Reilly still. That's great. Alright, anyways. But I guess we should talk about wrestling. I mean, do we want to go TakeOver? Since we spent 45 minutes and lost it all?
I mean, we could do a quick hits on it. That is definitely one where you were kind of talking about it to start the show. Like, I know that I'm not going to remember the detail now that I had in my brain on Saturday.
No chance. No, I thought there were two good shows. It's funny because they're saying this is the one that gets me, and I'm in a mood tonight, by the way. It's just been a long day, so I'm probably going to ever listen back to this, like, God damn, what are you complaining so much for? But they were saying this was a takeover that was too big for one night. I'm like, bullshit. Most of these feuds just did a week and a half ago. Like, you didn't have to do any of this stuff. But anyways,
I
watched it again. Oof.
There are some of these matches where they could have cut them out. You know, the six-man
gauntlet match.
Yeah. Yep, that definitely, and especially since that was the second longest match of the weekend. Like the O'Reilly and Adam Cole is the only one that went longer than that.
Okay. Yeah. I guess so.
But I mean, it does make sense.
Yeah,
like
six guys, it has to last.
Yeah. Thank goodness. I mean, I know that was something that probably if you look or listen to the archives of Stunt Granny, us complaining about gauntlet matches where people got pinned entirely too quickly. I've got to admit, I'm not sure the last time I remember complaining about something like that. Whether it's NXT or WWE.
Well, there's the tag team turmoil match.
It helps to...
If we cared.
Well, and that was another one where I didn't see that one, but that was not intentional. My... TV service was not recognizing my Peacock membership on separate TVs because we have separate boxes. It was recognizing me as signed in, but it wasn't letting me get the content. So I guess that is another reason to say that Peacock sucks. For some reason, I can't get it on two different TVs in my own house.
Well, at least you don't, you're not using a Fire Stick. You can't get it on a Fire Stick, period. So, you know, Amazon. It's a little company called Amazon, just in case someone didn't know. Amazon is this really cool thing. And like they came up with their own streaming device and all that. And, you know, I mean, it's not a big deal. Amazon's not going to go anywhere anyways, so it doesn't matter. The move to Peacock is, I'm sorry, it sucks. They've lost people being able to watch it. But I guess they got the $500 million. They don't care. So, or whatever it is. But yeah, anyways, I enjoyed TakeOver. I enjoyed Night 2 because they didn't put all the stupid-ass fake crowd noise in.
Yeah, that is...
Which came roaring back Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, I guess I wasn't paying as much attention on Saturday and Sunday for some reason. You could definitely tell that they were trying to overplay the crowd Wednesday on NXT. Like that to me yes. was the worst night of real noise and fake noise combining. Like if the WWE sweetened the crowd for WrestleMania, they did a better job than NXT did on Wednesday.
Well, yeah. Well, NXT. All right. One, NXT is in a warehouse essentially, and they make it sound like there's a 20,000 seat arena. Like it's just stupid. Especially when I was bitching because they had real people there. Why? The second night they had real people there, and they were great. I got tired at the end, but okay. Some of us aren't used to this anymore, I guess. But man, the crowd, a real crowd makes a show. And it's something that I've just noticed, especially now with the Thunderdome thing.
Oh, yeah.
You just realize how overwrought and overproduced WWE is. And it's borderline embarrassing. But anyways, one giant example to jump to Saturday night. Here's the host of WrestleMania, Titus O'Neil. Yay! The real crowd's cheering. And Hulk Hogan. Ooh, hi. Wait. They're booing Hulk Hogan. There's no chance. They're not. Like there's
heard it. Never mind. I get
that was
I should
part about WrestleMania this year.
I should amend my statement about not hearing the sweetener. On because those two occasions, because what was he only out there twice, like to kick off the show both times?
No, he kicked off the show. He came out. I didn't count, but I think he was out at least three times on Sunday. At least three.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember when did they have that really awful backstage segment. With him, Titus, and Eric Bischoff, where Bayley interfered. Bayley interjected herself. And they were talking about going on Bischoff's 83 weeks boat or something.
Yeah.
And then the awkwardness of them leaving Titus behind. Titus like, I'd like to go on the boat, too. The jokes write themselves in this situation. So...
Yeah. Like, you are not helping... the stereotype for Hulk Hogan that is out there right now.
No.
if he's leaving Titus O'Neil.
Yeah.
High and dry.
He just dumps him behind. He might as well have said, you stay here, boy. Or something like that. Like, oh, okay, well, I expect that. You know, I've heard worse from Hulk Hogan. So. Man, I was never a Hogan fan. Fuck this. I was never a Hogan fan to begin with.
Oh, right.
I wasn't. I like Randy Savage way better. So I was never a big fan of him. So when all this happened, I was like, okay, whatever. Like, but now, like being older, and you understood what he meant to people, right or wrong, you know, it's he was a fake.
Oh.
But that's what he was. He was a character, you know? That's what it was.
Oh, yeah.
But you see, like, all the people that looked up to him, and I know this is very old, but... And how many people he let down. Which, I guess, is their own fault for believing in a celebrity. But when you're kids, I mean, you know, you don't know better.
No. And that's one that it's also kind of hard to not have that happen. It's, you know, on some level. Like, I never got that invested, but I do remember since I grew up quite Catholic, being disappointed when I heard Joe Montana was getting married for the third time. I'm like, what the fuck, man? That is...
Boy, I'll please change.
That is way out of bounds, sir. But, you know... I definitely have a different perspective on that my current life.
It makes me sad. Yeah, but like seeing Hogan now, it's just kind of sad. Like, man, you were on a run. Like, I'm trying to get out of hyperbole with this, but it's going to happen anyways. But you were on the run of being one of the most beloved people ever. And yes, there were people that didn't like you because you turned heel, whatever else, right?
Oh, and but there was always...
In our generation...
I was going to say...
Our generation, Hulk Hogan was the man.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he just shows his true colors, and you go, ugh. And you're begging forgiveness. It's like, motherfucker, that wasn't a mistake. Like, you got laid. You just got done dumping. And you're still that angry? Are you ever mad after getting laid? No. Even if it's terrible. You're relaxed. You're chill. And you're happier. This guy's not. He's complaining about everything else. And he starts throwing N-bombs around. There's no defense for that. So you just went from like the highest mountain peak to the bottom. And you want to be like, well, you know, okay.
Yeah, well, in his
I can see if he was hammered, but no.
In the conversation, I had kind of forgotten about the jailhouse conversation that he had with Nick that was not very complimentary either in that department. I was just like, oh, man. This is not a one-time thing.
Yeah, I told you about that.
Yeah, I forget. Someone brought that up, and I was like, oh, shit, yeah. And
yeah, I mean, and I understand no one's perfect, but hey, you know what? There's different levels of imperfection. So, thankfully, just awful.
And it's every time this subject comes up too, I'm always like, I don't care. Like, I know that I'm something of a minority, like, in the fact that legends always seem to get play, like, even at indie shows. And I'm like, I don't care. Hogan, you know, those things make it worse, but I mean, I don't care about him anymore. Like, I just don't.
Right.
You know, like,
draw. It's just, he did it, well, and like the one aspect did it to himself. Now it's just, you towed him out. And that's what I was getting at is he's nothing for me, but you just see it going, man, you should be getting booed though. You know what I mean? Like, you're getting booed not because you're a bad guy wrestler, but because you're a bad guy person. Like, you're a bad person.
That's
a giant, giant difference. But yeah, anyways. Bobby Heenan was right. I always come back to this. Bobby Heenan was right the entire time.
Well, and Iron Sheik has always been a fuck Hulk Hogan guy.
Yeah, well, all right, we've gone from Bobby Heenan to that, so it's like, yeah. But yeah. Oh, kept the graphic for Santos Escobar. Nice. Wait, has anyone checked on Jordan Devlin? Is he alive? That poor man.
That honestly has got to be one of... NXT definitely had the more horrific bumps, I think. That was one of them. And Shotzi Blackheart nearly killing herself on a suicide dive. The other one, but man, I don't know how she flipped and ended up kind of hitting her lower back area, and I was really impressed at that mid-air adjustment that probably saved her from breaking her neck.
Well, when you're damn near killing yourself every match, I mean, aren't you going to have to eventually be able to counter stuff? You know, you got to adjust so you don't die. Every single match.
Yeah,
I love Bloom, but goddamn, man, she's going to kill herself eventually, or like, wreck herself somehow.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I hope that she can, at some point, find a little more toned down style, because I mean, she does. She has some pretty crazy in ring skills. And it's a very unique style of offense, too, that I don't think anyone kind of throws things the way that she does, whether it's kicks or punches or anything of that nature. And, I think she has the skills to not have to kill herself every match. And Kushida looks really strange in trunks.
I just noticed that too.
So
it's generic. Yeah, you get rid of those. And also, why is he in a championship match if he just lost clean to Pete Dunne? Here's the bigger thing. WrestleMania, NXT TakeOver was good. Everything made sense. Bronson Reed's going to star. Killer Cross. Karrion Kross, Balor was good. I was surprised Cross won. Raquel Gonzalez winning the belt and then acting like a face ever since is kind of weird. Whatever. We'll see if they mention Io Shirai tonight. We don't know. I don't know what else happened in this thing. Johnny Gargano is still the best person they have. The dude's awesome.
His reinvention continues to be a lot of fun. Like, as much as I... that was a situation where they've done a good job. This is, to me, seems like a 2.0 push for Bronson Reed. And I think they did a good job of playing, you know, kind of giving him a storyline out, having wrestled the night before and having been in that match for, the second most amount of time since he was entrant three. They gave him something of an out. They made Gargano made him look like $1 million. And not that he didn't have any part in that, because I love Bronson Reed too. Like he's just a guy that he really has a unique style and a unique build. Like the fact that he's sub 6 foot but still 330. But kind of looks like evenly thick, like from top to bottom. Like normally, like I feel like someone like that, like has skinny legs, or you know, just it's all the weights in the stomach or something. He's just a big dude.
Yeah, that's why he says "Thick Boy Nation." Because yeah, you're right. He doesn't have small arms or small legs. Yeah, I mean he's just, you know. He's just put together. Like,
yeah.
It's weird. Most of the time, guys talk about chicks being built this way. Or women, excuse me. But, like, we're talking about a guy. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
I think it's the only time I've ever talked about a guy being thick, right?
Yes. That is not normally something that that I talk about. But, when he puts it on his tights, I know he hasn't for a while. I don't feel like since he's come back from that minor injury that he's worn thick boy tights, but, you know, he did wear them, so it's easy to reference, and you can completely understand why.
Yeah. But no, TakeOver was good. They always are. It's like Ciampa and Walter had a great match.
Oh, yeah. That was a bundle of fun.
Everything was good to great. Your usual TakeOver show. The one strange thing, there was no, like, surprise. There's usually surprises at them, and there wasn't any.
Yeah, you would think that they did tease Frankie Monet showing up at this NXT taping, if I'm not mistaken, or show. I don't know if it's that taping.
Yeah, she'll be out tonight.
So yeah, there was no debut at all, or reappearance
even
of anyone.
On the pre-show, there usually is. Yeah. So, but I mean, right now it's AEW signing everybody, Impact, Japan, whatever else. Them getting new people that are gonna, like, you know, get like the not Adam Cole level, but you know, a surprise like that, like that. I mean, you're in for it's going to do.
Yeah, I don't know how long.
It's not an Impact. It's going straight to the roster.
Yeah, I guess I don't know how long they have people signed for, like an Impact or AEW. But I mean, it really could be an interesting time period here where that's going to be a thing, I would think. Like, both rosters are kind of huge, and I wouldn't be surprised if there might be some undercard guys that maybe try to move to the other brand to try and get a little more traction for themselves. But to me, that'd be a couple of years off, like, before people try something like that. Like you said, like you really need to go down to the IWTV level of wrestlers to pull someone up now, like, if you're wanting a surprise.
Yeah. Yeah. Because Impact, that's a very hard habit to break, by the way.
Yeah, surprisingly so.
They're signed for a while, you know?
Oh, but, right.
Yeah, so there's nothing to that. And fast forward to this weekend, there were no surprises whatsoever. I mean, none, including Monday. No surprises. Yes, I know the Viking Raiders came back and Charlotte came back. Okay.
Yeah, the Viking Raiders were, to me, that would fall under the surprise category, just because I had kind of forgotten about them.
Were both hurt, so, you know, it makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, they were, I thought, was, what's his name, hurt too?
Yeah, he took the time. Well, the 24/7 championship has kind of disappeared. But he took time while Ivar was getting fixed up. Eric got shoulder or arm cleaned up.
Okay.
So he's out, so I might as well do it too. So, and then Sarah Logan had a baby, so, you know.
Yeah.
So if you have a baby during COVID, it has to be pretty rough, but so he wasn't around at all.
Yeah, so, well, he had shown up some on Raw Underground there for a while, but I guess I haven't really seen him in several months at this point.
Yeah, and I love how we're supposed to forget all about Raw Underground, by the way.
Oh, because
Apollo 2 Day shows up, and they're like, who's this guy? Didn't you watch your own goddamn shows? Was it Kato?
Yeah, Dabba Kato. Because that's it. I'm just...
Yeah.
I typed in the old Twitter machine, I'm like, poor Michael Cole and Corey Graves have to pretend they don't know who Dabba Kato is from Raw Underground.
Yeah.
And I can't... Some people are like, well, you know what? I actually forgot too. And I'm just like, it wasn't that long ago, guys.
She was one of the main people.
Yeah, like, he had a match with Braun Strowman on TV, you know? Like, he got some play. Like, if there were some other characters down there that you forgot about, I wouldn't blame you. But he's one that they really pushed him for at least a month. Or was it 2 months that Raw Underground existed? Whatever. Like, I mean,
at least a month.
Yeah, at least a month. So, he got some exposure. Like, enough to be able to remember. Just because, there are not a whole lot of guys his size.
No. I saw him in an Evolve show. That dude is bigger than you think he is. He's about 6'5", but he looks like he's 6'5" across, too. Like, he is a big boy, if not taller than 6'5". But he came out, destroyed whoever he was wrestling, and just walked to the back and was like, wow, who was that guy? So, I knew who it was, but it was still like, wow. But
yeah, it should have been at an indie show, him taking on someone probably a quarter of his size.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, Evolve had some small people, so. But no. So what? All right. So I know this is always the question. What was your the night you liked the most?
WrestleMania wise,
like night one or two.
You know, interestingly enough, I think it ended up being night one. Like, despite. Yeah, I mean, I missed the Tag Team Turmoil match, so that probably helped a little bit. But night two really started off bad, and I really, that...
What? Huh? You said night two started off bad, and I go, what?
What are you talking about? So that didn't help, but the one thing that it did have to balance out, honestly, is the fact that the main event of WrestleMania, Roman Reigns versus Edge versus Daniel Bryan, probably the match of the weekend. You know,
it was the smartest one too.
Yeah, like, they made Roman look like a scumbag getting the win, but they also made it clean, like, so that he didn't look too bad, but he was still taking advantage of a situation.
Yeah, well, it made sense. I mean, how many times have we seen these matches where there's no disqualification, right? And somebody comes in at the very end when they could have come in the whole time.
Or they come in and they attack once and then they stop or they get beat up and then they're just out of the match. Like, Jey Uso took a beating a couple of times. It's like, he'd recover and come back into the match. And it's just like, yeah, that makes sense. Like, whoever's helping someone, and I don't care what their name is over the years, like, and everyone's seen it, they shouldn't just go to the back. Like, until your guy has secured the win, there is zero reason for you to go to the back, even if you get your ass handed to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, and that's what I was talking about, how this is like the smartest match, because it made sense. So, like, you don't just stand around doing nothing. Then all of a sudden, when it's too dire, like, no, you guys have been scumbags the whole time. So why all of a sudden when you try, like, let's play it fair, like, and Daniel Bryan going crazy and beating Edge down, and then Roman coming in, doing his thing, getting crushed by Daniel Bryan as well. And then Edge doing the concertos, I was like, this is crazy good at the end. I honestly texted you, I was like, this match is great. I couldn't believe how good it was. I didn't like Roman winning, not because of anything other than yuck, that character sucks. In like the best way. You know? And I'm like, oh, I didn't want him to win. Like,
that was one.
I did a good job of not seeing anything. So I didn't know on one. I knew Edge didn't win.
Oh.
So I was like, oh, the story could be really good that Daniel Bryan wins this, and then Edge pissed off because he stole what should have been his.
Oh.
And then Roman could be pissed off at Daniel Bryan because he wheeled his way into a match.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
But it seemed pretty definitive, dude, with him pinning both of them.
Oh, yeah. Know? That was a part that I'm just like, wow. Like, they're really going there. That is saved for King Kong Bundy beating two enhancement talent at one time. You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't... And someone's probably done it since King Kong Bundy, but I like that was definitely one that came to mind.
I still love the five they used to do. I mean, what a dick thing. But anyways, we can't get sidetracked again. But
Roman winning because that's kind of a dick move too, just having pinning both guys at the same time.
Yeah. Yes. That's what I'm talking about. Like,
I guess
someone finally beats him.
That's one of those ones where we were waiting. I think everyone was waiting to see how the live crowd would react, and Reigns definitely got booed.
Yes.
You know, in an like
way, yes,
and that's great. Like, he is like such an unlikable character that you know they just do such a bad job. Well, maybe it's the wrestlers themselves. Maybe it's probably the writers because that's easy to blame them. But you know. The heels always, these days, tend a lot to try to go, they get too cutesy, and they get too likable. Like, and I can't even just think, like, I mean, Chris Jericho almost went into unlikable mode right away in the Inner Circle, but was being played as a heel.
Right, right.
And Roman Reigns is just being a dick constantly, and like I wouldn't have been surprised if people started to cheer him because they were kind of recognizing the effort, but he is being such a dickhead that he's being booed very much to his credit. Like they have
this
done
is what we all expected from him.
Oh yeah. Or even honestly, like
the Shield, he was the quiet.
Go ahead.
No. Yours is better than mine. I can already tell.
And I don't even remember where I was going to go exactly now. Reigns, he was a dick to his family. He's being a dick to everyone else. Like it. I guess it's just really easy to fall into those traps to be a heel, especially with as much TV time as that guy needs to eat up. You know, like he's not Brock Lesnar. Like it's easy for Brock to be a dickhead, you know, come in, be a dickhead and then leave. But having to do it week in and week out, I guess I'm still surprised, like, cause yeah, I'm sorry. You've got to be a hardcore fan if you're going to this year's WrestleMania. Considering, you know...
Or you live in Florida.
So, you know, it's... I guess I'm expecting those people to cheer the effort of Roman Reigns, honestly, just because the WrestleMania crowds, as I mean, we pointed out over the last few years, they're not really your typical Raw and SmackDown crowds. You know, and they tend to cheer more for the heels than you do for the baby faces. It's kind of like when you used to do the Canadian swing, you know, and all the roles got reversed.
Yes. Oh, yeah, those are some weird shows.
Yeah. So, I mean, WrestleMania is almost always an outlier. So I guess I wouldn't have been terribly, because of those reasons, I wouldn't have been terribly surprised if Reigns was being cheered. But again, much credit to him and the writing staff for a change, that they are continuing to play him as a complete and utter irredeemable dickhead. And it's working wonders.
Which is, and that's what should have happened in the beginning.
Oh.
But Vince had to force him down everybody.
And now you just said that, and it made me think of my other thought. It makes me wonder if John Cena could have pulled this off, something like this off. Like, everyone begged for Cena, but it never happened. It, you know, for I don't know how many years. And
yeah, I was looking at something, and somebody said it had to do with the make a stuff.
This
really is a person that's granted the most wishes.
Oh, right.
And by turning heel, it was going to be really hard to do them. And I'm like, okay. And it's opposition, I guess. But yeah, I don't know. The last match was so good. I heard how good Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks, that was really good, too.
Oh, yes.
Outside of that idiotic whip thing, which still makes absolutely no sense how it's not a weapon. But whatever. And if you try telling me it's her hair, stop right there. Just stop it. What's not? So, all right. We get past that. Fine. The match is really good. My biggest, if any, complaint of it is they didn't give her much of a celebration at the end. Like, she was still getting into mid-celebration, like, soaking up all the glory and all that. And they go, thanks for night one of WrestleMania. We'll see you tomorrow. I was like, wait, what?
Oh.
Like, it seemed like there should have been a bigger celebration going on. It was weird.
Yeah.
Which I guess it did keep going on live, but not on TV.
Yeah, I mean, considering that it's not like Peacock had something else to get to. You know, and it's not
exactly.
Like and they didn't need to linger a lot longer, but yeah, a little more time, a little more celebration would have been warranted for the whole situation. You know, I mean, they pushed how historic the match was, and then, like you said, like it finishes, and it's like, hey, we're out of here later. We can't possibly jam this in. It's just like, especially since, you know, Sunday night, I've got to admit, the main event was a little bit more of a struggle for me. I did stay up for it, but because I've got to go to work on Monday, it's a little bit tough staying up that late. Saturday night, I don't care, man. Just, I'll stay up till 1 if I have to. And not that they went that late, thank goodness. But
no, was it over by what, 11, right?
Yeah, like considering that they had like a half hour to 40 minute rain delay, you know.
Yes, we were out and I was watching going, what's going on? Why isn't it? I was watching on my phone, so I couldn't hear very well. But I'm like, why are they just talking? And they came back with a weather delay. I was like, oh, so that's the first time it's ever happened. So.
Yeah, I still can't believe that the WrestleMania we went to outdoor in Orlando, it was like 37 degrees out. It's just like, how the fuck did this happen?
It was 80, and then all of a sudden that front rolled in, and it got ridiculously windy. And it dropped down. It wasn't 37, but it was like low 50s.
Yeah.
When you're in shorts and a t-shirt and the top of the stadium, that stank. Yeah. But at least, I don't know what's worse, doing that or rain.
Yeah. You know,
or
I don't.
Thunderstorm or whatever.
Yeah. The rain is never any fun. I have been to football games in rain, not fun. I've been to soccer games in rain, not fun either. It's all uniformly not fun because that's one of those things that you just can't, you can't get out of being wet.
No.
Like,
that's when we saw Smashing Pumpkins 2 years ago. It rained the entire time and someone forgot their ponchos.
Ugh. But even those don't help. That, like, they help some, but like you just feel the dampness. Because the ones that, when we were at the Penn State-Kent State game, the wife and I had ponchos on, but like my ass was still wet. You know, like you could feel like your skin felt like you were in a shower for a 4 hour football game. It's uncomfortable. Shit just gets damp still. Like, even with that on, you still get damp. Like, you don't get soaked, but you still end up damp. And it's just like, ah, this sucks. So, yeah, anyone that was wet and then got to sit there for the next 3.5 hours in their dampness, oh boy, that, yeah, not fun. Not fun at all. So, I mean, but again, like, to go back to the celebration, you don't cut the TV celebration short because the crowd is wet. If they start, if they start heading for the exits because they're wet and they know what the finish is, cool, so be it. But you can spend another, you know, couple of minutes watching the historic celebration of Bianca Belair.
Yeah, yes. I guess Montez Ford came down to the ring, and like I think she got on his shoulders. He like carried her to the back. All this stuff.
Oh,
and that's cool. None of it was on TV.
I guess the only thing I'd say is that they're gonna They're gonna save it for like a 24/7 or something like that to pull in some viewers for that. Because there's no way that's not recorded, right?
Oh, no, they record everything.
Yeah.
Even when Jerry Lawler was having his heart attack, they were recording him. That's some sick shit. But, all right, real quick, do you understand how hard it is to take any promo seriously? I can't even hear what's going on right now, so I can't wait to watch this back. But Frankie Monet shows up, Ty Valkyrie, with her dog. They're trying to talk shit to each other, and this dog, this is a Pomeranian?
Yeah, or some type of palm mix.
It's got the funniest face on it. He's like, oh, what am I doing? Like, all Pomeranians kind of like cracked out anyways. So,
yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure why you bring a dog to a wrestling ring. Like, I get that you want it to be part of the gimmick, but if you're going to be out throwing insults and kind of challenging the new champion, don't bring the dog. Yeah.
I know it's part of the gimmick, but it's like no one's going to brawl. You know no brawls are going to break out. Not in today's day and age. So.
Yeah.
But no, yeah, so. Man, I really wish we weren't recording right now because I really want to know what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
I'm sure you see the same thing I can.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little surprising to see. Anyways. Rhea Ripley back in NXT, I suppose.
I wonder if Bianca comes out next, too. Do the little NXT reunion stuff, the three of them. That'd be pretty cool.
I
mean, think about it.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, trying to get back to WrestleMania now. Oh, I loved the way, and talking about
the... I don't want to say, but it's got to be off.
Yeah, that's it. I'm trying not to say stuff right now. But to go back to which night I preferred, I did really love the start of night one. Starting off with Lashley and right. McIntyre. Like that, because did they do McIntyre and Brock to start off last year?
No, that was the very last match.
And
Brock were the very last match.
Did Brock start off?
It was in the PC. No, that was the New York one.
Oh, okay, the year before then.
Yeah, Seth and Brock started.
Okay. That's what I was thinking about. Like, I kind of like sometimes when it's just a huge match to start. And that was one, too, where I guess a lot of people were definitely leaning towards McIntyre regaining the belt because he did not get a moment last year in front of a crowd. And oh yeah, they're yep, they are showing the photo and all of them are champions now.
That's cool as hell, dude. Well, look, this will be out after it's out anyways, but this whole thing with the three women, that's cool.
Yeah, I mean,
it also helps they're all in the same area right now, so
yeah, from all of two
years. Orlando's not that close, but
all of 2 years ago.
Yeah, but no, I was shocked McIntyre lost, actually. I was shocked he lost the way he did. Because I know he got distracted, and that's all it cost him. Like, you know, because he said himself, the Hurt Lock hurts, it's dangerous, this. At the same time, I'm glad he didn't win, because it's not time for Lashley not to be champion. He's doing, I mean, he's great. He's finally not the Lashley that we always thought that we could have gotten. And then we're getting like the TNA. I mean, and yes, well, no, we'll sit back to us with that. Anyways. Well, weren't they going by like TNA Impact Wrestling or something? Like they weren't giving it a go?
Well, it's been Impact for a while, though.
Yeah, but it's like you saw that and you saw the dumb shit they were doing when you got here. To WWE, and he looks like a murderer. Go for it. Like, that's why I hated Monday. I absolutely hated that show Monday. That show was boring. First off, it was boring. Second, there's no real emotion going on. Everything is carefully manipulated. And it goes back to, like, sound, the crowd sounds, all that stuff.
I was really hoping that they would move to some type of partial crowd.
That's what I was hoping, too.
But it looks like NXT is...
disinterested people.
Yeah. I don't get why you want to be on there. I legitimately don't.
Everyone wants to be on TV, man. That's why. Being dead serious. Everyone wants that shot, and they think this is it. That's it. I mean, you can't make out anybody anyways, but just in case. So, in that case,
I need more than just this beer to contemplate that.
Oh, yeah. So.
But anyway, no, man, yes, I'm with you, though. I'm glad that Lashley retained, like, and I think I had talked about that in the shows leading up to WrestleMania, like, Drew McIntyre, over the last year, he's been one of the pandemic MVPs. Definitely for the men's roster. Him and Roman Reigns. Although Roman obviously got to skip about half of the pandemic period. For completely legitimate, real good, you should fucking do that reasons. But I think Drew's been made. Like, I mean, he beat Brock Lesnar. Like, And he did not go out easily in this match either. And I did, like, that was one of the few things I did like on Raw on Monday. He's like, man, it came down to who made the first mistake, and I fucked up. Like, and that to me is, like, something that, for him moving forward, like, that is a necessity for a babyface in his situation. Like, I made, you know, it's just like, and he even said it, I believe, to MVPs, like, you know what, next time, that's not going to happen. He's like, I fucked up and I looked at you. That's not going to happen this next time. Like, I'm going to beat Lashley the next time. Like, he's going to be the one that screws up. And, like, yeah, like, they couldn't have played that part better, in my opinion. Like, that was one of the few positive spots on Raw. Yes. Like, I really like Drew is a character currently.
Yes, and that's why I kind of hated it, too. Because we're automatically getting it again.
Oh.
And it's still not time for Lashley to lose. So why bother? Unless you've got a big return in the works, and that's why McIntyre loses. If not, it's a mistake. It's just an absolute mistake. It's not time to take the title off Lashley. It's definitely not to lose again to him.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah,
I'm
with you.
Two things that make sense, anyways. So.
there does need to be some shenanigans involved if McIntyre is going to take a second consecutive L.
Well, I guess since they introduced T-Bar and Mace again, because you know everyone was really looking for coming back, not Dominic Dijakovic or Dio Madden, but. You know, whatever. Anyways.
T-Bar is Dijakovic.
I said Dijakovic and Dio Madden.
Oh.
Wait, I said T-Bar 12.
I thought you said he didn't.
Anyways.
You know what? I'm also realizing that I did not finish Raw.
Oh, yeah. After McIntyre wins, T-Bar and Mace come in. And beat up Drew McIntyre.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I know that I ended up missing everything from the Funhouse on. So I did not catch the Firefly Funhouse and that McIntyre match was after that. I believe.
Yeah, okay. So, this is why I hated Monday. Real fast. Because I thought WrestleMania was good. The whole thing was good. Yeah, it had some snoozers. And we can start with night two. That first hour was abysmal. That Randy Orton, Bray Wyatt bullshit. And then to find out that Vince McMahon changed the ending the night before. Because The Fiend was supposed to win. Because of course he was supposed to win, but then they changed it, and they were and him and Bruce. What the hell's the guy's name? I keep on saying Dickinson.
Oh, Pritchard.
It's clearly not him. Yeah. They were good with the new finish, so they went with that. Well, then if that's the case, Bruce needs his ass fired because it's stupid. Oh, it'll make sense. All right, does it? No. All of a sudden, Alexa goes. I found I could do that. I don't need him. I have the power myself. Okay. And Razor, we find out who your friends are. What are you talking about? All she did was show up on top of a box.
I didn't get why that, like, we still don't understand why that distracted the Fiend.
Or why it made him vulnerable?
Yeah. The guy has been shown as superhuman. He came back from literally being burned alive. And we're supposed to think that one RKO is going to do him in? Really? Yeah.
He's taken 140 spears and he still got up. I mean, it was like, this is dumb. And I loved how the crowd was like, what? And then, like, they were down with, like, Alexa bleeding from the head or whatever that stuff was supposed to be.
Right.
Randy Orton hits RKO. They're like, oh, look at this. He loses. And the crowd's like, what? Then the Fiend just stands there. It goes to black and he's gone. And the crowd starts booing. And they immediately cut it. They immediately cut away from it. Like, uh-oh. Yeah. Because you just fucked everybody over.
Yeah.
That's what we were talking, like, one of the other shows. It was great to have a live crowd in this. So that they can tell him, hey, this sucks. Because it does.
Well, yeah. And I guess, you know, to go back to my comparison, you get to start off with Lashley and McIntyre. And it was also extremely weird. I thought for sure there was going to be a stipulation in that match. And then The Fiend and Randy Orton just have an in-ring fucking match? Like, are you fucking... like the
some guy burns you alive. What else do you want? Do you want blood or do you just want to try and pin him in the ring? And go, see, I'm the better man after all. Stupid garbage. Just hot shit. There's no way to defend it. There's no way to get around it. And then there wasn't even a follow-up. Because on Monday, see, I thought she did that. It was going to turn out that, you know, the Sister Abigail thing.
Uh-huh.
That Sister Abigail took her over. And that's why he was so shocked. Like, wait a second, what? Oh, my God, my sister's back.
Yes. Like,
whatever, I don't know.
That would make some...
That, then you could have explained, that could have made him vulnerable. Like, all of a sudden, the Fiend has a heart or something. And that's why he was able to get pinned off of one lousy RKO. But no, Monday, she's like, I got the power now. And here's my new dumb doll. Then we go to Bray. The most entertaining goddamn guy, man. When he started doing the Benny Hinn and healing people and, like, running around like he's doing, like, a gospel revival, I was like, this is really cool. And then he goes, everything's going to be all right. And I'm like, they clearly like your stuff, but, man, no one's going to get behind him after this. That's the other thing. They just killed that guy off.
That was the other thing that was so weird about it. It's just like you're expecting, not to put, again, too fine of a point on it, he was burned alive. And he didn't get his comeback win? Really?
And he's not going to? Yeah.
Yeah. Randy Orton's like, oh, I'm out of here. Like, we are not feuding anymore. This shit is done.
Yeah. I don't blame him.
No. No. If he has veto powers and he decides, he's like, man, I've been in this feud for 8 months. I don't need to be in it any longer. Like, that's enough, guys.
Yeah. So it just, I don't know, it started off night two sour, and then, yeah, the women's tag match, which was not good, because why would it be? And then, what else was on this that night? I forget. Oh, Asuka and Rhea Ripley.
The Kevin Owens, you know, to do a like-to-like comparison, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, with Logan Paul, it was really weird that Logan Paul just sat there, wasn't on commentary, wasn't guest ring announcer, wasn't guest ring enforcer, guest referee, like something. The fact that he just sat there like a tool, and I guess God bless for taking a stunner. But that was it. Like, I mean, it was an okay match. I mean, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn can have a great match in their sleep against each other, but...
Yeah. It was too short.
Yeah. It was too short to really get too much in there. So, yeah, like, there was a little bit of payoff at the end, but Bad Bunny had a real performance. you know, in a wrestling match.
Hold on. Yes, I definitely want to talk about that. But we can't gloss over. All right, so the Logan Paul thing, I didn't mind him just sitting there. Because okay. Sami Zayn said, I want you to just be my guest at ringside. That was all he wanted.
Yeah.
So I guess in that case, it, like story-wise, it makes sense. And then you knew he was getting stunned at the end. You knew it was coming.
Oh, well, yeah.
And even still, that's one of the most impressive like stunner cells I've seen. And that's from a guy who doesn't do wrestling at all. I mean, I guess he is athletic. He was a boxer or whatever. But
yeah.
So I don't want to gloss that over. That guy took that great. Way better than Vince McMahon.
Was one where, like, I guess most of the stunner cells for Steve Austin that I like are always the completely ridiculous ones, like The Rock flipping nine times. But Logan Paul took that like he broke his chin and just, like, fell flat on his face. Like, it's like, shouldn't that really be the reaction to a move like that? Like, oh, fuck, my face hurts. And to just drop to your, drop on your face.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know anything about the guy. I know, did some NBA guy in a boxing match?
Yeah, there was Robinson. That.
Yeah.
He famously, I believe, was quote unquote canceled, even though he still has nearly 23 million followers. Because what, he went into some suicide forest in Japan and made fun of it.
Oh, that's him?
Okay. Yeah, him and his, I don't know if his brother was there or not, but yeah, that guy. But yeah, again, canceled. Okay. 23 million people. Yeah. Uh-huh. Sure. Canceled. Uh-huh. Whatever.
I never heard of the guy until that boxing thing. So.
Yeah, and then he started to do the boxing thing recently. Because I think he's had a couple of celebrity matches.
Okay. Yeah, but no, I mean, so as someone who has no history about the guy, I was like, wow, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Go to Bad Bunny. One, that is on top of the semi is pretty cool. That looks like fun. And then he comes in, and here's the problem that I've had with the Bad Bunny stuff. One, I'm sick of hearing the announcers and everyone else say Bad Bunny. I'm tired of it. It wore out its welcome immediately. It just, whatever. I didn't, like, he performed for the Royal Rumble, and that was just a bad audio mix. Like, you know, it's not my music anyways. I don't like that mumble garbage. But that wasn't his fault. So I'm like, all right, not my music, so I have no problem with that. My problem is they booked him like a total bitch. He starts off okay with Miz and Morrison coming up and saying, hey, we want to do this. He's like, that's okay, guys. I'll pass. And then they're dicks to him. Okay. He stands up and, like, didn't he help the Miz get eliminated in the Royal Rumble? Is that what happened? And then he distracted him and Damian Priest or something. And then maybe it was the next day he jumped off the top.
Oh, yeah, he might have.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's like, oh, okay, so that's what happened. And then he sticks around with Damian Priest. And every single time something goes on, he hides behind Damian Priest. I was like, dude, you're the definition of a bitch. You want to start shit with somebody, and then when they want to come back at you, let the big guy get in front of you? You're a coward. So that's why when this match, so I was already like in the Miz's corner, like, yeah, you're right, dude. And then the Miz calls him out. He's like, oh, you're going to hide behind him? He yells coward at him. Dude gets in the ring. And I don't know if they practice all the stuff, but yeah, it was pretty cool. I was very pleasantly surprised. The best celebrity performance ever in a wrestling ring.
From WWE,
at least.
Yeah, it was really good. Like, I guess I am not the cynic that you are, so I was not on the Miz's side. Because they kind of started the whole, I want to wrestle you. And, I mean, when you're challenging a rap star to a match, you're, to me, you're the bitch. But,
Well, he was doing it. No, he was doing it because, all right, Miz obviously overreacted by breaking his stuff. I get that. That's what heels do, right? But, oh, sorry, I got distracted. But then every time, like, Miz is like, oh, you want to do something about this? Let's do something. Steps in the way. Well, no, if the guy's coming up doing all this bullshit, no. All right, buddy. You know, if Morrison tries jumping in, I'll handle him, but you're on your own with this. That's what happened for 3 months leading up to this match. Which maybe I'm too invested in seeing this stuff, but every single time, until the Miz finally hit him with a chair. Oof. By the way, I don't know if you were watching that match that was on. That was really fucking good.
Oh,
I'm glad to see Isaiah Scott getting some shit going. So, anyways, that's why I got distracted.
It is crazy. I don't understand why my TV is. Feed is always so far behind everyone else's.
Oh, is that the streaming one? Because streaming's always behind.
Well, yeah, this is more like WoW's Roku type system.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah, that's exactly why. So, it's got to go through a different process. So, but anyways.
So, yeah, I'm always like 10 seconds behind everyone else, and it stinks.
Good, both good enough. But no, I like the match. The offense was believable. I mean, for the most part, it's still wrestling, so whatever.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, if you ever want to say that, well, I mean, yeah, Bad Bunny is not a big guy at all. So, you know, if you wanted to take yourself out of the believable offense, it would have been pretty easy to do that. If you wanted to. But yeah, I mean, they delivered. And like you said, like he probably had the best true celebrity kind of performance. Like, again, because I think you and I talked about it. Pat McAfee was a real, you know, athlete. I know that people like to make fun of punters and all, but you know, the guy participated in athletics his whole life, so he definitely had more training physically than one Mr. Bunny did at any point.
Yeah. Well, no, they said, all right, so yes, but they also said that was Randy Orton, or it may have been Orton. But Orton said he was at the Performance Center training like 6 hours a day for like 2 or 3 months.
Oh, yeah. And I think that it paid off.
This wasn't one of these things where he just comes in, takes, like, just goes, yeah, I'll do this, whatever. No, he was actually in it. So, I mean, all credit to this guy. I mean, I don't know anything else about him. The music part, I'd never heard of him before. But I mean, how many times have we seen these celebrities come in? And they're awful. And yes, Snooki still sucks, by the way. She did a backhand stand or something.
She did more than I expected. I will word it that way.
Why she did more than you expected? Because she's Snooki.
Yeah.
If you look at her going, ugh.
Yeah, I thought that was going to be complete and utter trash, and it was passable.
Yeah, yes.
So,
who was her partner? Because it was Dolph and Maryse, right? And then,
was it Dolph and Maryse?
Who was Snooki?
I think so. Was she against the Bellas? Wasn't it her and... No, it wasn't her and JWoww, was it?
No. Goddamn, I do not remember.
No. No, and I'm too lazy right now to look that one up because I don't care enough. it still goes back to the fact that Bad Bunny was way better than her.
Oh, it was Dolph Ziggler and Lay Cool versus John Morris and Trish Stratus and Snooki.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought she had another woman on her team. I forgot that it was Trish.
So. What was that, anyways? 27 was Atlanta, right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Alright, so we were actually there for that, then.
Oh, because, is Michael Cole versus Jerry Lawler on the card?
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
I know why we forget most of WrestleMania, because we were dying of hunger after the event, so. As far as WrestleMania went, like, I'm trying to figure out what else really stood out. Shane McMahon taking that sick-ass bump off the cage, which I thought that match played out very cool. Because when Braun got hit in the head with that toolbox, which, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my god, he's dead. That was a thud, and then a bigger... And then, you know, the way things have been going...
Oh.
You know, the good guys don't always win.
Right.
But then, when Braun was already fired up in the promos, because this actually seemed like something he could sink his teeth into, in all seriousness. So when he goes, this is for everyone who someone calls you stupid. He picks up Shane and hits him the power slam and it wins. I was like, huh. They actually did something right here.
Yeah.
Like, regardless how bad the setup was going in, but, you know?
That's one that I'm just... The argument I'm not really buying. Hey, don't call me stupid, but I can call you cunt face. If you can use the word cunt face, can I call you stupid? Shouldn't you just be able to take that? Isn't that part of this whole free speech gimmick here that you're going with?
Well, no.
Because you're fucking stupid, so... How else am I supposed to describe you?
What, did you watch Raw Talk with Brock Roman?
Fuck no.
Okay, this is where it all gets explained. See, and we have to do a show on what makes WWE's program so problematic, because we always start and then stop. But he explained. He grew up with a learning disability. He had this problem. And for to have someone like Shane McMahon come in, and they were trying to portray like Shane as like this golden boy, you know, silver spoon and all this, to come in and pick on a kid or pick on somebody who had a learning disability or whatever else, call him stupid. He goes, it just enraged him. And that's what the crux of it was. So whenever Shane would call him stupid, it would remind him of everything that happened when he was a kid and how he doesn't want any other kid to have to go through that. Makes the story way better. But you never know because it's on Raw Talk, which they don't even advertise anymore, I don't think. And if they do, I totally missed it. So, it's just too bad.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if he was doing it for the kids, maybe it would have made more sense, but it didn't, so.
Yeah. Yeah, well, exactly. It's just like AEW, when you have to watch Being the Elite. Like, the Bucks did a full heel turn on Being the Elite this week. I'm telling you this, so when you're watching AEW tomorrow, you're like, why are they so different? That's why.
I already saw...
They never acknowledged it on TV.
I don't even want to get started about that. Because, I saw the YouTube alert was there for me for the show. And it had the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega talking. And I'm just going... The fuck? Like, we just went over this the last 2 weeks. Like... You're going to have to do, to me, you're going to have to do some hard work for them to be heels after, like, resoundingly refusing him the last couple of weeks. Like, why would they change their mind all of a sudden? Do they do a good job of explaining that?
Why. No. But it's just Kenny does most of the talking and they agree. And they're like, yeah, it's definitely time to change. So, but it's like a full, it's not one of these things where, oh, did they just do it just because he was getting hurt? I was like, no, they did it because they're choosing to be with him. So, yeah, exactly. But yeah, I'm trying to think of like some of the other highlights or stuff that stuck out to me at Mania, and I mean, there were good matches. Cesaro winning was a pleasant surprise, as I really didn't think that happened. And especially how clean it was too.
Yeah, so. And that was one where the WWE to kind of go along the Lashley. Who is that? Drew McIntyre area. They actually seem committed to putting new people in prominent positions for, I don't know what reason exactly. It's a pleasant surprise because it's been needed for years, plural, at this point. Because I couldn't believe, I guess I missed Seth Rollins' first promo about it when he said that Cesaro's been in the WWE for a decade, and he hasn't had a singles match at WrestleMania?
Nope. Remember when he came in, he was the international guy that spoke all the languages, and he had Oksana with him? If you remember her?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how long ago.
That was almost the most stupefying part of that whole thing. I'm like, oh my gosh, he's been around 10 years now? Like, I can't believe that he's lived on potential for 10 years.
Well, I mean, you gotta remember, I remember how successful he was when he was in the bar. Like, the big thing, was that the Real Americans, he started getting traction. WrestleMania 30, they totally dicked him over. We were there. We know how big that pop was when he won the Battle Royal. And then the next night, he's a payment guy. And the place went ape shit. And what'd they do with him after that? Nothing.
Yes. Yeah.
And then he gets his second chance with the bar, which turned out to be pretty cool.
I guess that did take up a couple of years of that 10 years. But yeah. Even after that, what, it's been a couple of years since the bar has been broken up now? He's kind of gotten one or two start-stop pushes since then, too. And I guess that's the part that's been kind of strange to me, is that they actually seem committed to some of these pushes. Like, and it was something that we mentioned earlier in the show, because Cesaro isn't the only push guy. Like, I would be shocked if we did not see Big E getting moved further up the card.
He's got to finish out with Apollo first, but I think that's got to be in the works. It only makes sense.
The interference does not need to take the same shape as it did at WrestleMania, but I would imagine that Dabakato, or as many people seem to be speculating, his new name will be General Aziz. Just Dabakato is better. Just go with it. if that's the case. But Yeah, I can see Big E getting screwed over and then still having, you know, credibility to move on to taking on Roman Reigns. So
that's
one that seems to be a little more dependent on circumstances, but they have really been behind Big E, and I would not be surprised if they think that he has moved beyond the. I can never remember which belt is being held by which middle card belt holder.
No, it was his. Yeah, his was Intercontinental.
Intercontinental. So. Okay. Oh, yeah. I have this stuff
it's just
pulled
so
up.
It's so generic looking anyways.
So, yeah, like, I hope they continue the build with him. I hope they continue it with Cesaro. Like, they need guys in more prominent positions that haven't been in years past. Like, and I know that Shahid and I kind of talked about it. This is really the first, and I think that's one of those things about this WrestleMania that makes it kind of interesting. Like, there is no big returning star. You know, this is the main roster WrestleMania. Like, for the first time in who knows how long, like, we legitimately got a main roster WrestleMania, and it was kind of weird. Without having some type of a comeback or some type of, like, real huge... Do I want to say celebrity? Because I'm obviously Bad Bunny and Logan Paul are huge celebrities, but... You know, I guess I'm just thinking back, what, Ronda had her first match, was it three or 4 years ago that she was in that tag team match against Triple H and Stephanie with, and I can't even remember who her male tag team partner was that for that match. But, like, I feel like there's been...
Kurt Angle.
Oh, Kurt Angle, yeah. I feel like there's been some type of celebrity match that kind of more personifies wrestling and not just, you know, as much as Bad Bunny put in the work, he's still not going to become a wrestler, like a full-time wrestler.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I guess, you know, there's no, well, obviously Brock Lesnar to show up. There's no Rock to show up. Or even John Cena being in a match would be one of those... you know, John Cena's going to be a nostalgia act when he comes back.
Yep.
For sure.
Yep.
But, I mean, there was no match, like... And that's... I know that celebrity probably isn't the right word, but there's no... you know, past match to draw back on, you know, no Triple H. And I think we mentioned Triple H and some other people, like no one like that came back for this one. And I guess they really need to push some of these superstars that they have really, they've teased a lot over the years that they'd get a big push and they never have. You know?
What a novel concept, huh? Push your own people, you know? Maybe if they actually start listening to the crowds, but there's no crowd right now, so whatever. But, you know, actually listen to the fans. If I got to hear one more wrestler give me that bullshit line about how Vince listens to the fans, like, just stop. Vince always gives the audience what he wants, but what they want, but it always turns out, like, no, it doesn't. It doesn't turn out for the better. So,
no.
But yeah.
You've really got to force the situation like Daniel Bryan did. I can't believe that's one that's 7 years ago.
I know. That's crazy.
You know, like, there are some rare occasions where fan opinion ends up winning out. And that was one of the few times, although that obviously screwed some other things up and made Batista's comeback really strange.
Yeah, and short.
And short.
Well, yeah, no, that... But, yeah, it's just after that and then watching Raw on Monday, I don't have much hope that things are going to get better. I'm still, I know it's a private thing. I'm still really confused what's going on with Keith Lee. I hope everything's okay. You know?
Oh, yeah. Like, that was one where I almost expected something more to happen. Because, what, they mentioned that he was on some type of watch-along on WWE TV.
Oh, okay.
So I don't, yeah, it's pretty weird. That is one where I guess you did kind of expect, like, to me, I wasn't completely surprised that Charlotte Flair showed back up on Raw. but
yeah,
you know, Keith Lee not showing back up like that. Yeah, that Raw after WrestleMania, like, I know that we stopped going at that. We went 7 years ago, and then that was our last one. And we're like, oh, no, fuck this crowd. Like, we're done.
No, the New Orleans was a good one. Because that's when we got to see The Warrior for the last time.
Oh.
Daniel Bryan played his stuff. But it was something switched after that. That was the last one where the crowds were decent.
But that was the last one we went to, though, wasn't it?
I'm thinking it might be. I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, so I guess if it was good, like, I just...
That was New Orleans.
Yeah. We didn't go in Dallas. And we didn't go in New Orleans the second time. So, yeah, if it wasn't something that happened at that New Orleans, at that New Orleans WrestleMania 7 years ago, there must have been something else in Raw after WrestleManias in years after that that turned us off to the concept.
It was the Jersey one. It couldn't have been Miami. It was... What was the one after ours?
I don't know.
Was that San Jose?
It might have been San Jose.
New York. Yeah, and I was like, hell no, I'm not going to New York for fucking outdoor WrestleMania in April. That's stupid. And I think that was the one where the crowd just went crazy and stopped paying attention. And it was like an episode.
Oh, was it the beach? Was that the beach ball year?
I think that was it, yes.
Oh.
And I think that also might have been the year with Fandango, where they were all singing the Fandango song, which was fine, because that's part of the show. But, you know, I don't know.
You can view that a couple of ways, I suppose. This one definitely seemed a little lackluster. Like, Keith Lee would have helped spice things up a little bit. Like, I guess you usually do get the debuts because it helps relieve the crowd or the performers who have, you know, definitely been busy the last couple of days get a little bit of a rest. And
yeah.
You didn't really have that at all.
No.
And I honestly still can't believe.
WWE champion out there.
Huh?
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, that Charlotte promo, I understood the spirit of it, but to go back to that whole, the WWE doesn't do a good job of explaining things, you've got to cut that promo in front of a crowd, and they've got to be booing you to start with. And there was none of that there for her. And there was no reason for her to turn on the crowd either, or for her to kind of turn a new leaf over. Like, it was just...
Yeah.
I'm not surprised that she's in the main event picture again, but it's also just... You didn't need to do that weirdness to put her back in there. Just like, hey, I legit wanted to tag with Asuka, but my main goal is singles gold. And that's what I'm going to do now. Like, that's all you needed to do. Like... Yeah, they make rocket science out of something that isn't rocket science way too often.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the worst after WrestleMania Raw they've ever had. Just for the fact that I know you said the Viking Raiders showed up. Charlotte came back, cool. But you also got the complete burial of Matt Riddle. I don't know how you come back from that if you're getting beat clean on Sunday and then you eat your ass handed to you on Monday. Makes no sense. But whatever. Yeah, and that's it. It's cool. T-Bar and Mace with a big surprise at the end. It's like, ugh. No. No, thank you. No Becky Lynch. How could she not make an appearance at WrestleMania when she's there? Makes no sense, but
I mean, I guess whatever. If you don't have,
maybe they didn't want to show up.
I guess I'm okay if they don't have plans for her.
Even if it was just, well, yeah, I guess you can't. But it rubbed me the wrong way. Bayley didn't have a match after being, you know, the entire face of their women's division for SmackDown. But whatever.
They did what they could, I guess. Like, I'm not a fan of what ended up happening, but I'm also not going to get too wound up with it either. Like, it sucks that that she didn't have a part in it this year, but yeah. I guess to me it is always, what it is.
Oh, it's next year.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh yeah, but we'll see. It'll be interesting to watch NXT tomorrow with the sound on this time.
So. yeah, I will be watching those highlights and ready to talk about that and some other wrestling things on Thursday Eve, posting on Friday. Did you have a beer tonight, my good sir?
No, I did not. There's a reason for that.
Well, I had my my favorite breweries outside of the direct Columbus area is from Athens, Ohio, where Ohio University is, and it's Jackie O's. They have been around for quite some time. Their Dream Pillow Hazy Double IPA is just fantastic. It's, I'm glad they have a new tap room here in Columbus itself so that I don't have to drive the 45 minutes to Athens. Yeah, 45 minutes to an hour to Athens to go get their delicious, delicious beer on tap. And I believe this was one that, they, just gave the wife as an additional. That they happened to get shipped that day that she picked up other beer for me. So Dream Pillow, Jackie O's, if you happen to be in southeastern Ohio for reasons unknown, I would certainly say seek them out. They are a fantastic brewery.
Nice.
So, yeah, that's it. I'm at DeFrango11. That's at Granny Maze. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, and you can download us at Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or any number of fine podcast establishments, and have a good night.